This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. And our spot on the map this morning is a little town in Victoria that's had two famous visitors. One was the Duke of Edinburgh and the other a notorious bushranger. We're talking about the town of Linton, where Jill Wheeler is head of the local historical society and also the author of the official history of the town, Linton Makes History. Jill, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Rod.
Let's start with where Linton is, because some people might recognise the name from a terrible fire a few years ago.
Yes.
And they might know about Linton because of that, but where exactly is it?
Well, it's in the Western District of Victoria, and it's about half an hour in a car southwest of Ballarat, if people know where Ballarat is.
Yep.
Southwest of Ballarat, probably about 34 kilometres.
And so people would live in Linton and work in Ballarat or vice versa?
Yeah, definitely. And even sometimes in Melbourne.
There's a train.
There's a train from Ballarat and a bus from Linton to Ballarat.
Every day?
Twice the bus, I think.
Okay, so people can live in Linton and work in Melbourne.
Yeah, but not many of them do.
Wow.
It's more likely they work in Ballarat or the district around.
Sure, but there's enough to carpool to Ballarat to catch that train, perhaps.
Okay,
very interesting. Now, how many people live in the town of Linton?
Yeah, well, the 2011 census, which is the last figures I've got, there were 350 in the town, but the district, probably more like 550. So it's quite small.
Yeah. Is that kind of the peak of population? When was the sort of boom time for Linton, or was there ever a boom time?
Yeah, there was a boom time during the gold rush. And
wow, that's going back a little bit now.
Yeah. But and it's probably its biggest population was around about in 1870, 1880, around that time. But it sat at about 650 for the late part of the 19th century and into the 20th. And then it has declined because of, you know, like rural and regional Australia has declined a lot generally. So, a lot of businesses and facilities closed.
The town has a beautiful name, Linton, and it has an even more beautiful shire name. You're part of the Golden Plains Shire. Is it the Golden Plains Shire because of wheat or because of gold, or what's
gold.
The reason?
That was an amalgamation of the old shires that took place in around 1994. All over Victoria. And originally, Linton was like the capital town of the Shire of Grenville. But then Grenville got amalgamated with various others and they called it Golden Plains because I think a reference to gold in the area, but also it's very agricultural. So I guess wheat and, crops and things.
What about the Shire of Pyrenees? Is that also part of Linton or is Linton
part of that? No. Shire of Pyrenees is north of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the name Linton, though, that actually comes from a family, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The Linton family who came from Scotland and they emigrated in 1830. Well, they arrived in 1839. They got on a boat about 5 months before that. And there was Joseph and Mary.
Joseph and Mary. They're two names
not the
baby that go together.
No. Joseph and Mary Linton, and they had three small children when they arrived, and they were part of a big wave of Scottish immigration to Australia at the time, or to more precisely Victoria, and there were lots of Scottish people, settling on the land around in the area. But there was no town then, but the town subsequently came to be named after them when it was established after gold was found.
Interesting. So they moved there before there was a gold rush. Were they able to cash in on it?
No, they didn't, sadly. No, they had financial disaster, actually, the Linton family. Many of these Scottish families did very well in the area. They acquired this land, which previously just had Aboriginal people there, and they eventually came to own it. But the Lintons never quite got that far. We don't quite know why, but they didn't have a lot of capital behind them, and they had a family, and sometimes the other pastoral runs were taken up by men in business, in business arrangements. So they were a little bit different. But anyway, no, they didn't. And the gold was found in 1855. And by that time, they were pretty much off their run. They'd sold bits of it, and they'd sold the original lease they had on it. And Joseph had died in an accident. And so Mary was on her own at that point. Although she did manage to marry her overseer, who was 25 years younger than her. So that, I think that clinched the deal, really, in terms of going down the drain.
But that is a familiar story as well, that if a woman was left widowed, then she had to find somebody to marry.
Yes,
and in that area, there would have been nobody else living there.
There wasn't many other choices, no.
That's right.
And she had a lot of grown-up daughters.
Yes.
They had 10 children. So
wow.
She had eight girls and two boys, and the girls were all marrying whatever local men were available, basically.
And the mother did as well.
Yeah, the mother did as well, yeah.
It's a remarkable story about
it's
the
amazing
Linton
story,
family.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And are there any Lintons left in the Linton area?
No. They all kind of dissipated and went either to Melbourne, or some of them went to Queensland in search of further, pastoral stations or gold or whatever. So no, there aren't. But they did remain in the area probably up until about the 1890s, and then they were all gone by then.
What a shame. We're talking about Linton in Victoria, and Jill Wheeler is president of the local historical society. And as you've heard, there's a lot of history in Linton, and there was history before the arrival of the Linton family and the Scottish settlers. What was it like in the Indigenous history of the area?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and it wasn't very much told, that story. The local people were called the Wuthering, and there are still some Wuthering people around, not actually in Linton, but in the district. The Wuthering, like all the tribes around, or language groups, really, they are, in Western Victoria, were subdivided into clans. And the clan that was on the territory where the Linton family came to be were called the Kaninji Bullock. But what happened was, because of the arrival of Europeans, they a lot of them died as a result of disease or clashes with the Europeans. And the clans got all mixed up, basically. And by the 1840s, a lot of the Kaninji Bullock would have been hard to identify, and were started to be called other things, like amalgamated groups, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah.
But they did, they continued to live in the area where they'd always lived for generation after generation, and the Europeans sort of settled on top of them, if you like, or around them.
Yes.
And sometimes that was something that was tolerated by the Europeans, and sometimes it resulted in conflict. But with regard to the Linton family, apparently they did accommodate the local Aboriginal people and indeed develop relationships with them that continued over some years.
Okay.
Like 30 years, that sort
sure.
of length of time. Yeah.
But when you say that there were tragedies, perhaps, how bad did it get at sometimes?
Well, again, in Linton precisely, it was okay. I didn't find any evidence of any massacres or, occasional killings either. But in the wider district, there were massacres. There were, the Aborigines would steal sheep because, they didn't have a system of stealing. Like, they didn't understand stealing.
Yes, of
so
course.
They just took what was there and had always done so. And also their food sources were cut off often because the Europeans occupied the river where they'd fished. And, so I did read about poisoning of Aborigines with poisoning flour and giving them the flour.
Oh, how terrible.
So, you know, there was that sort of thing went on in a quiet way.
But so much of this could have been avoided, of course, if the settlers had even the slightest understanding of what Indigenous life was like. That, as you say, that, you know, if they wanted food for the night, they might have killed a kangaroo or whatever and eaten it, and taking a sheep. For them was
in the same category.
No big deal. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So much pain could have been solved.
Yeah, the retaliation was often quite severe. But, the European people, I guess, you know, it was a complete clash of
cultures. Exactly.
They didn't understand, or they regarded themselves as superior. Even the ones who were trying to help and trying to be on the right side of things, you know, they still regarded that the ultimate aim would be that the Aborigines would die out. So that was tough times.
Indeed. So Linton developed in the 1860s through to the 1890s. Unbelievable, though, that you've had royalty in the town over the years.
For about 5 minutes. Yeah.
That's all you need. Who are we talking
about?
Well,
we then called the local pub was called the Royal Standard Hotel as a result. Well, it was the Duke of Edinburgh. It was the son of Queen Victoria, who in 1868 came to Victoria, and I think he did a tour, you know, like he went, he was carted around to look at the goldfield town.
Right.
And he stopped in Linton at the pub, which is called the Standard, and apparently they roasted a pig and had a big sort of barbecue lunch, you know, for him. And he only stayed, I think, a few hours, and then he continued on to Ballarat.
So not the current Duke of Edinburgh, but...
No.
You know, but they sent them out to Australia in those days to tour the colonies. And
yes, exactly, yeah.
Let us know we were part of the empire.
Yeah.
Any other well-known people, or perhaps not so well-known people, have visited Linton over the years?
The only other one I can think of as notorious was a bushranger called Captain Moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
His real name was apparently George Scott.
Right.
And he was late sort of 19th century... but he was apparently a lay reader in the Church of England. And he was great friends with one of the local Church of England dignitaries and also the bank manager, the Bank of New South Wales, which was established in Linton in 1861. So he used to sort of masquerade as a lay reader and be a bushranger by night.
Or by moonlight, as the case may be.
Yeah, Captain Moonlight. That's probably why he was called that, actually.
So he's in the church... He's in the bank, and yet he's going against those things when he is robbing people, being a bushranger.
I don't understand it at all. He must have had a split personality. I haven't got any more information about him, but he would be an interesting person to explore further, probably.
Indeed. We are talking about Linton in Victoria, and Jill Wheeler is our guest there this morning. So, obviously, the visit by the Duke of Edinburgh was an important part in the history of the town. Any other famous events in the history of the town?
Well, they had a big centenary in 1939. They considered, you know, that was 100 years since the Linton family had arrived, and they had all sorts of parades and exciting things happening, like bands and sports events and the opening of things. You know, they built a new shire office, and, you know, so we've got photos of people cutting ribbons and, you know, standing looking in their best clothes, and so that was a big deal. But unfortunately, what it meant was, because Linton thought it was progressive, they actually demolished some of the old buildings
and put up
new ones.
People would call that progress. I suppose.
Can't stop progress. That's right.
Many have tried. However, does that mean that there are no buildings left from the 1860s?
Oh, no, not at all. And we've got some lovely old buildings, actually. I'll just tell you about some of them. The Historical Society has its rooms in what was the old Undertaker's building. And we've restored that and painted it out in heritage colours. And that's pretty nice. And next door to it is an 1874 library, which is absolutely pretty much as it was. All the books are still on the shelves, the old furniture's inside. It's not really used. I mean, it's not used at all, really, except we have, the Historical Society uses it for displays. That's pretty amazing. And we did try to get that put on the Victorian Heritage Register, but we didn't succeed, unfortunately. But they did say it was a wonderful example of a humble mechanics institute and library.
Talk about damning with faint praise.
It's humble. It's weatherboard. It's pretty basic. But it's
humble
lovely.
With plenty to be humble about, as they say.
We've got an old blacksmith's forge, too, worth mentioning, which has recently been bought by people who are sympathetically restoring it. And it has all the old machinery in it, two huge bellows and two forges, and it's an amazing building. Okay. And it was built in the 1860s, so that's pretty special.
All right. Churches in the town?
Yeah, four. Well, two of them are now residences, and two of them still operate. The Church of England and the Catholic still operate with small congregations. But, there was a Presbyterian and a Methodist church as well. So, all the Christianity was divided up into small bunches in those days. And they were very active. They had choirs and they had ladies' guilds, and they were always having events, picnics and fundraising things. And, it was a big thing in the town.
And these days, though, surely the priests and the ministers have to travel around because
on the circuit, definitely. Because I should have mentioned the Chinese, actually,
which is a very important part.
Yeah, they came with gold. And in the 1850s, there were many of them, thousands probably, moving around the district, not necessarily all at Linton's diggings, but they were, they did settle many of them too. There was antagonism between them and the locals at times, but others, who stayed on for quite a while, and some of them married local women, they became to be, regarded quite affectionately, and they became market gardeners and, they did other things. But so there were quite a few of them did marry local women, which was some research I did on that was very.
And are those families in the town still?
No.
A lot of people seem to leave Linton.
Yeah, they do. Still. A lot of the old families have left, but through the historical study, you get many inquiries from people with Linton Heritage, and you'd be surprised how many people have got Linton Heritage. Mm-hmm. And we get inquiries all the time, and many of them are from Chinese background.
Okay. What about other people, though, with heritage in Linton? Any well-known people come from Linton over the years?
I'm trying to think.
Because I can think of at least one. Former leader of the federal opposition, one of the few who did not go on to become Prime Minister, Matthew Charlton, apparently born in Linton, leader of the Labor Party in the 1920s, when Stanley and Bruce was Prime Minister. He was leader of the opposition. He was born in Linton, I am led to believe, yes.
No, I don't know him, but what other famous people? Linton had three women, local women, who in the late 1900s became doctors, which is fairly extraordinary.
Yeah.
Two of them were the daughters of the local GP, and they went to Melbourne. All three of these women went to Melbourne University Faculty of Medicine, and they we've got photos of them. They were in a sea of men. But the one that became really famous was Vera Scantlebury, Yeah, Scantlebury. It's good, isn't it? And her father was a local GP.
Okay.
Her mother was a postmistress, and she was only, they weren't in Linton for that long, but we like to claim her. And she went on worked during the First World War in England as a doctor. And when she came back, she founded the Infant Welfare Service. That was a big innovation at the time.
For baby health, yeah. Are there doctors in the town now?
No.
People have got to go to Ballarat if they need a doctor.
Yeah, I think you can go to Smythedale, which is about, 20 kilometres up the road towards Ballarat, or I think there's one doctor, and there's one in Skipton, which is about 20 kilometres in the other direction. So, but not in Linton, no, unfortunately.
Is there a football team or a cricket team or a local arts scene?
Yeah, there's a football team and a cricket team, but they are a joint team with another local town called Carnham. There were, of course, though, Linton had its own teams in its own right over many years. But in the 1980s, from about that time on, things declined a bit into a lot of local government facilities closed, and particularly when the Shire amalgamated, they lost a lot.
Right.
So, but they still got it. Yeah, they're still operational. Netball as well. There's the local art scene. Well, Linton's having something of a revival, I think, or it's certainly into preservation of its past, which is great. But there's a lot of new people coming to live in Linton, new families. The school suddenly has got quite a lot of children, whereas it nearly, had very few. Like it got down to, something like, 19 or something, about 10 years ago. But now it's might even be as many as 30 next year, I think. But so the school's hung in there, and there's now a little cafe which is open and very vibrant, and a great meeting place for all the locals. There's a Progress Association. There's a very, very active historical society, I have to say.
Of course, Jill. I'm sure it is active.
Yeah, it's even a play reading group, would you believe?
Wow, okay.
So who knows? We could be the next
Oscar winners. Yeah, I mean, you need to go from reading the plays to actually putting them on.
Yeah, well, they did do a couple, I'm not involved in that, but they did do a play in the course of this last year, and they're going to do one. They're threatening to do one next autumn. So.
Okay, threatening. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's a promise, not a threat. We can't go, Jill, though, without hearing about what did happen in 1998, and it's a tragic story with the Linton bushfires. I mentioned it earlier.
Five
people were killed. They were not from Linton. They were volunteers who came from Geelong to help out. Geelong's not all that far away.
But how? They've just had the anniversary of that, actually. It was on the 4th of December, I think, or the 3rd or 4th of December of that year.
Mm. And how did that affect the town?
Oh, I think it affected it hugely, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of upbeat talk about how, it won't affect the town. But I think for a while, everybody identified the town with that event. And, it was, it came at a time too when things like the bank had closed and the Shire amalgamations and things were, everybody felt a bit sort of pessimistic about the future. But still, there's a wonderful memorial to those fellows in the bush just north of Linton where they actually perished in their fire truck, and it's a very moving memorial. You have to really walk into the bush to find it.
Okay. Well, so, I'd like to finish on a positive note, but you've told us that as well, really, that you think that there is a good future for Linton.
I think so, yeah, because a lot of young families are sort of looking for a place where they can go and afford to buy a house, and you can certainly manage that in Linton.
Yeah.
And it's, there's a sort of move, a bit of a tree change movement,
good.
I think.
Okay.
Can I just tell the listeners that I've written a book about the history of Linton called Linton Makes History.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on a PhD research that I did on the town. That came out in 2015. And now the Historical Society has just published a new book called Linton, A Photographic History. That's using a selection of our wonderful old black and white photos. So,
Okay. So when is that, Jill? If people would like to come along, if they're maybe in their district or they're coming down from Ballarat or whatever, what time and what time today?
The book launch is in the Shire offices at 2:30 today. And we'll have speeches, and we're having a wonderful Christmas afternoon tea as well. So everyone's welcome. The book's retailing for $30, and it's got a great number of photographs, 241 photographs we've got in the book. So
all about the history of Linton. That is 2:30 today at the Shire offices. Jill, I really appreciate your time, and thank you so much.
Thank you. No, it's been really good. Thank you, Rod.
And that was Jill Wheeler, author of The History of Linton, Linton Makes History in Linton in Victoria, our spot on the map this morning.